Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. There is something that happens in the world, including the Christian world, whereby believers lose something. They lose a part of their identity that comes from God. And because a part of this identity has been lost, a great deal of evil comes into the world. Theological scholars do this portion of their identity injustice. What we lose when we think about our identity, when we think about our identity, we think about ourselves here and now. Or perhaps we think about, you know, how does God see me? Who am I before Him, if we are thinking correctly? When we think about our identity, we think about who might I be? What is my call? What does God say about me? And these are all accurate parts of our identity, but there is one part of our identity that is crucial. And if I don't have this portion of my identity well established, then I will get into places in my life where I'm very unstable. And it's not in the here and now. And it's not in the future. It's what happened when I was born. What happened before I was born. And this is an extremely important part of a believer's life. What happened before I was born. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. What happened before I was born? In Revelation 13:8, the Word of God says, "The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world." Now that tells me something. That tells me that an eternal plan had already been in existence before the foundation of the world. That God knew precisely what was going to happen in the world before He formed the world. And God paid the penalty, He paid the price for our redemption before the world began. Before any of us were even conceived, before any of our great-great-grandparents, before Adam and Eve, the Lamb was already slain. Why was the Lamb already slain? Because before the foundation of the world, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And that happened before the foundation of the world because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. You see, we believers are very temporally oriented. We are oriented toward time. We are oriented toward our sight. We are oriented toward our plans. What we lack in our orientation frequently is that eternal orientation. The fact that my feet are on earth, but that is all. The rest of me is seated in heavenly places, and the earth is my footstool just like God, because I am in God in Christ. And only my feet are here on earth. So my life began far before I was born. And my identity begins far before I was born, because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. God dealt with all my iniquities, with all my failures and sins, with all my insecurities, my weaknesses. He dealt with it all before the world began. So I know that my history is not an earthly history. My history originated in the mind of God. Just like the universe originated in the mind of God, my history did also. And who I am originated in the mind of God, because Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." And that grace was given before the world began. So all things about me, all things about my life originated before the foundation of the world. What happened before I was born? I was known by God. In Jeremiah 1:5, the Word of God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Before A lot of scholars say that the soul enters the body just before birth, but that is not correct. It is not what the Bible says. The Bible contradicts that notion, but they say that the soul enters the body just before birth, and on that basis, a lot of Christians are at least not opposed to and sometimes outright approving of and partake in things like abortion. Because they are buying into this demonic, satanic lie originated by Satan, propagated by demons, and sent into the world through those people who want to think with demons, that their body prior to birth is nothing. But that's not right. The Bible states things that are completely different. My soul originated when I was conceived. But these theologians, some of them, they are saying that it originated just prior to birth. But it wasn't prior to birth. It was at the point of conception, and the Bible clearly states it. Let's take a look at this. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I separated and set you apart, consecrating you. And I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. That's in the Amplified. This was not talking about the Savior. This was talking about a man. This is talking about a man. Jeremiah was a man just like we are. The difference between Jeremiah and so many other men was that Jeremiah dared believe God. But that was the only difference between the great prophets and everybody else. They simply dared believe God. And he dared believe God when he said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were there. Before your mother had a womb to speak of. Before she was pregnant, you were known by God. And approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I separated you." God had a plan for every single individual before that individual was conceived. And it was a holy plan that was established in all of eternity for God to be revealed and glorified in and through that individual's life. Can you see why Satan loves abortion? Because he is eliminating entire portions of God's plan with every single abortion that takes place. He is eliminating entire segments of God's plan that was created for that individual before the universe existed. In Isaiah 44:28, we see what that means. Cyrus was the Babylonian king who had released Israel from Babylonian captivity. But prior to Cyrus, he was mentioned by Isaiah by name. And he wasn't even born yet. He wasn't conceived. It would still be several decades before Cyrus would even be born. Many decades, not a few. Nobody knew Cyrus. Nobody knew Cyrus's parents. Nobody knew Cyrus's grandparents. But he says here that saith Cyrus, "He is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure." This was long before Cyrus was born, and God knew him by name, and he knew the exact details of Cyrus's life. And he knew exactly what was going to happen with that man. And he knew exactly that he would be the king of Babylon. And he knew exactly when he would come on the scene, just in time for Israel to be the one who released them. He knew exactly what was going on. And it's repeated again in Isaiah 45:1. He talks about Cyrus and how Cyrus would do that which God had called him to do. He knew him long before he was born. Now, I'm purposely not including anything about the Messiah here. Because you can say, okay, God, you knew yourself and you knew your plan. But this wasn't the Messiah, this was a man. And this man was known by God. And God knew exactly how He would use this man long before he was conceived. And then finally in Ezra, after all those prophecies were given by Isaiah and also by Jeremiah concerning Cyrus, in Ezra 1:2, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia. There he was, spoken of by name long before, and there was the king of Persia. Now get this, Jeremiah was an Israeli prophet. Isaiah was an Israeli prophet. But Cyrus was a Babylonian king. And this was before Israel entered into Babylon, or Judah. This was before Judah entered into Babylon that Cyrus was mentioned by name. No, they weren't in Babylon at the time. But they were already speaking about who it was and what his name was and what he would do for Israel, this man. This man, that's all he was, just a man. And he wasn't even a Jew. He was a Babylonian. And the Jewish prophets spoke about this Babylonian. Why? Because God knew him long before the world began. God knew him long before he was conceived, long before his parents were conceived, his grandparents were conceived. He knew him long before any of those things ever took place. And the plan was in place. And the purpose was given. You see, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The last thing the Lamb said in John 19:30, it is finished. It is finished. When the Word of God says it's finished, the entirety of my life is included. The details, the minutiae of my life are included. The fact that I have not been born yet means absolutely nothing. In the world, they make it out to mean everything. So they can sin and they can propagate their sin, and so that they can go away from the results of their sin and try to escape the consequences of their sin. But it is not going to work with God. God knew every child before that child was even conceived, and only God could cause that child to be conceived. It says in Psalm 139 and verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret. Intricately and curiously wrought as if embroidered with various colors. Can you imagine that? My life is embroidered with various colors, and this is the way that God makes my life a tapestry of many beautiful colors. In the depths of the earth, in a region of darkness and mystery, your eyes saw my unformed substance. Why in the depths of the earth? Because this is what I am made of physically. But your eyes saw my unformed substance in the depths of the earth, while I was still minerals in the ground, just like with Adam. And God saw me in that dirt, in the minerals. He saw me in them. Kind of like a artist sees a great piece of stone and says, I see the statue. And it's going to be a magnificent statue. But the stone is crude and rough. And it is not formed yet. But the artist can see it there. And God sees my life before I am even born, before anyone even thinks of my great-great-grandparents, God sees my life in the minerals of the earth. And He says, I see what these minerals are going to come together. And I'll put them together and form a plan that is a beautiful, colorful tapestry. And the Lamb was slain for them because of that plan. and their life was written. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book all the days of my life were written before they took shape. God wrote all the days of my life in the book of remembrance before I even had a day. Before I was even a cell, God wrote my entire life out. There are some people who believe that God does not have a personal plan. But that is a lie and it's demonic. God has a beautiful plan. And He wrote it out while you were still just minerals. When you still had no life in you. You were just minerals. And yet, there was none of them. I didn't have one yet, and it's already been written. In Genesis 17:19, this is how God could say to Abraham, "But God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed, and you shall call his name Isaac," which means laughter, "and I will establish my covenant, or my solemn pledge with him, for an everlasting covenant, and with his posterity after that." Isaac was not even conceived yet. Isaac was not conceived yet. Sarah was too old to conceive. And God already told him what the boy's name would be. And God already told him what his life would be. And God already told him what the promises regarding him and what his future beyond him would be. See, that's the thing. God didn't just write my life. God wrote all the lives that I affect. If I have children, God wrote the children's lives and their children's lives and their children's lives. Do you see the demonic aspect of one soul, one life, one person being taken away? That's what this culture does. Takes away generations of God's plan. It's evil. It's simply evil. And Isaiah 49:1, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath He made mention of my name." He called me. Well, you know what that word, the bowels of my mother. That's not what people think that means. People think that means the physical womb, but that's not what it's saying. Bowels there, in this context, you have to study this out, but if you do, you'll find that bowels in this context does not speak of her womb. It speaks of her reproductive organs. What are you saying? And bowels also speaks of emotion. That as she was in the passion of intimacy with her husband, you knew me at that moment, you knew me. And that's what he is saying there. And you called me from the moment of that intimate passion with her husband, with my mother's husband. And this is where I was called. At the point of conception, the call no longer was a plan. Alone. The call was a practical reality because I was here on earth. And God knew that call. And He knew my name at that moment. In Genesis 2:7, get this, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." When did he become a living soul? The moment that the breath of life was in the man. Do you know what that means? Do you get this? Do you know what that means? In Job 33:4, "The Spirit of God had made me, and the breath of the Almighty had given me life." Do you know what that means? That means, what is it that gives me life? The pneuma. Right? Isn't that the original? Pneuma. the original language. That which we translate as soul. When I possessed a soul is when I became alive. These people wonder if there is a soul in the child before the child is born. They say, oh, the soul comes just before birth. Show me that one in the Bible. That's a lie and it's from the pit. The soul is what makes me alive. Scientists can put all the pieces together for a cell, but they can't make it live. Scientists can put all the pieces together for a body, but they can't make it live. Why is a person alive at one moment and dead in the next? Because the soul is gone. And you can look into that person's eyes and you see that there is no one home. The soul is gone. The soul has left that body and the body is dead. No, it's the presence of the soul that makes the body alive. So to say that the unborn child has no soul is a flagrant lie against the Word of God. Because God spelled it out specifically. He made no ambiguity. He allowed no ambiguity in there. The soul makes the body alive. This is why in Genesis, after the flood, all things that had the breath of life in them, a soul in them, died. This is one of the reasons why we know, and there are scholars who disagree with it, but they're wrong. That souls have, animals have no soul. Animals do have a soul, and animals are shepherded by God in wherever they go, I guess heaven, but some portion of heaven. Or maybe they will live in us in our mansions, that's not clear, but it is clear that they have a life beyond this one. Just listen to that message, do animals go to heaven? It is clear that they live beyond here because they have a soul. And God did away all things pertaining to the fall over all creation. It doesn't say that the cross dealt with just Adam, but the cross dealt with all the effects of the fall. You see, why am I even alive? Why are the cells reproducing at the point of conception? Because the soul is there. And the soul makes it live. Take away the soul, and there is no life. In Ruth, the Word of God tells us that God causes conception. There's Japanese scientists several years ago who have done a mathematical study about the probability of conception. Mathematically, it's impossible. And yet it happens all the time. Why? Because God causes conception. In 4:13 of Ruth, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Who gave Ruth conception? Boaz? No. Just the fact that the sperm and the egg met was not the fact that there was going to be conception. They didn't have to meet. There's nothing that says they must meet. No, God caused the conception to happen. God brought it. God gave them conception. In Ecclesiastes 11:5, as you know not what is the way of the wind, or how the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a pregnant woman, so you do not know the work of God. You see, it's God who causes the soul to enter at conception. In Isaiah 49:5, the Word of God says, and now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be His servant. The purpose that the person has, the human has, was given him as God was forming him in the womb. Now the purpose was laid out before the world began, but it became His possession as God was forming him in the womb, to bring Jacob again to Him. And He even identifies the purpose. The purpose that the person has been clearly defined before conception, before birth. The purpose is clearly defined, and at the moment of conception, the purpose of God becomes that individual's personal possession. This is why Satan loves abortion. Because entire generations of purpose are eliminated. What an unbelievable strategy of warfare. Eliminate the army of God before it's even there. How demonic. How unbelievably demonic. How evil. Isn't that Satan's government at work in the world? How unbelievably evil. In 1 Samuel 1:19, "And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord." Now get this. "And came to their house Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her." Now Elkanah, and he had been married to Hannah for some time. And when he was intimate with his wife, she had never conceived. And that's why she was in the temple. Because she was pleading with God to give her a child. And it was God who remembered Hannah. And because God remembered Hannah, Hannah had a son. Hannah could not get pregnant without God's intervention. She couldn't get any more pregnant than Sarah could get pregnant, even though she was ancient as far as biological reproductive age goes. And yet there was nothing about Hannah that had the ability to have a child until God remembered her. Just like with Ruth, she could not have a child until God thought of her and gave it to her. There is not one human being that comes into conception without God's divine intervention to make it so. Though scientists have shown us it's a mathematical impossibility, God has to make it so. Every human being that is conceived is an act of God. Because God has to remember for conception to take place. No, we do not do this of our own accord. God has to intervene. And even if it happens in sin, and so frequently it does, the life that is made by God. It is an innocent life that knows no sin. But it is made by God, and the Bible says so. So these people who say that it's just unviable tissue, well, you're going to answer to God for that statement. Because it is a life that God made. And only God could make that life. I don't care what the source of the cells was. The cells didn't make it alive. A dead man is dead. But a living one is alive. It's not in the cells. It's in the soul. And God has to put the soul into that single cell fertilized egg at the moment when the sperm penetrates. That's where the soul enters. The Bible says so. The Bible says so. In Galatians 1:15, "But when He who had chosen and set me apart even before I was born and had called me by His grace, His undeserved favor and blessing, saw fit and was pleased." God was pleased with His life before He was born. God was pleased that He was in His mother's womb. It made God happy. This was the pleasure that God was seeking. It was God's plan. It was for God's good pleasure. It was God's doing. And only God could do it. And this is why, and you see, that person that is inside there that we just can't see because they're enveloped by their mother. They're not these people who say the embryo or the fetus is a part of the mother's body. That is biologically ignorant. It has nothing to do, there is no connection to the mother's body. There is no blood shared. There is no tissue shared. There is nothing shared. Only nutrients passing across membranes the same way that people breathe. I'm not the air. I breathe air, but I'm not the air. And no more is the embryo a part of its mother's body than I am a part of the air. You know what happens? By the time the woman knows she is pregnant, all the organs are in place and functioning. Day 17, that child has blood. Day 25, a beating heart. Don't you realize that you're talking about a human being? These fools who say it's not alive, it's just tissue, and it's not even human. It is human, it's a human being. It is a living creature with human DNA, and the DNA defines the species. It is a person. And that person has a plan from God on their life. And that person is known by God. That person must not die except when God says it's His time and His eternal plan. As He has known the number and the quality and the details of His days before He was conceived and wrote it in the book of remembrance, He must not be murdered. He is a human being. And He has tremendous value to God. God established a plan for that person's life. These people who say that they were born homosexual, that's not right. No one was born homosexual. That's a biologically ignorant statement to make. You know what happens during the fourth month of development? At first, what determines maleness and femaleness are chromosomes, the Y chromosome, the TDF factor, testis determining factor. That's what it's called. It's a gene on the tail of the Y chromosome. That gene, if it is present, it will cause testosterone to be secreted. If it is not present, then testosterone will not be secreted and the embryo will undergo what's called the Müllerian pathway. That is the, if you will, default pathway for all human beings. If there is no Y chromosome, no testis determining factor, that child will become a female child. If the TDF is present, that child will start secreting testosterone. The testosterone will cause, I'm going to get a little graphic, but I think it's appropriate. The testosterone will cause the clitoris to become a penis. It will cause the premature gonads to go from the back wall of the abdomen, drop into what would have been the labia, and it becomes a scrotum. This is a human. And that human was planned out. And God created his genetics to make him even male or female. And that testosterone also washes over the brain and determines sexual behaviors. Normal, healthy sexual behaviors. And I'm not talking about lust and the things that the world does with it. I'm talking about God's design for sexual behaviors. No, it was created before the world began. Before the world began, God knew you would be a male or a female. Before the world began, God knew whether you would be a mother or a father. Before the world began, God knew your spouse. Before the world began, God knew every detail of your life. He knew the minutia. So don't try to use biological ignorance to defend sin in your social corruption of this culture to take us away from God and destroy young people and destroy lives and destroy futures and destroy God's plan as Satan has initiated to you through the atmospheric projections of demons. No. God made us. We have been fearfully and wonderfully made, the Word of God says. We have been fearfully and wonderfully made. And He set us apart. And even in the womb, we have some measures of understanding. Even in the womb, we call to God and we recognize it. How do I know? Luke 1:41, and it occurred that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. The baby, the fetus, John the Baptist, the human being, living at his first address, and that's all that is. The fetus is simply a human being living at their first address, and so the address happens to be called mommy. But it is a human being in its first home. And he had understanding when he was in the presence of God. And he leapt for joy at the presence of the Savior because he recognized them in the womb. No. God made us fearfully and wonderfully. We are not unviable tissue. We were never unviable tissue. We were a living soul. The moment we were conceived, this is why we were even alive. We were a soul. We were a soul. It's the soul that makes me alive. Not the cells, the soul. I'm far more than cells. We are souls. We're souls. I will praise Thee in Psalm 139:14 in closing. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And marvelous are Thy works. He's talking about us. He's not talking about the general works. He's talking about Himself. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Why? Because my soul was there from moment one. Amen.